Turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew. I don't think I've ever done this before. I preached the same sermon yesterday in a Seventh-day Baptist church, and they wanted me to use a different translation, so I had to redo all the notes and found some very interesting typos this morning, but hopefully things are going to come together the way they ought to. Matthew chapter 9, verses 36 to 38. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Let's pray. Fathers, we talk about the need out there. As we talk about people who desperately need Jesus and how we're supposed to respond, Lord, open our hearts to what your Spirit is telling each of us in terms of our personal witness. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The setting, of course, is that Jesus is going through all the towns and in villages, and he's preaching. And we read that in chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. Now, this setting is about 2 years, maybe a little more, after he's baptized by John. He has a huge following. There are huge crowds following him wherever he goes. And also in the crowds are Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, people who are committed to destroying him. And so he has this huge following, and he has organized opposition. We read this back in verse 34. But the Pharisees said, "It is by the prince of demons that he drives out demons." So why did Jesus feel compassion? When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Now, I hope some of you are doing serious Bible study, and one of the easiest things to learn how to use is Bible Gateway, because you can go there and you can type in any verse you want and get it in 30 different translations, which is helpful sometimes. And the three or four translations I use the most translate these words in the NIV, harassed and helpless, differently. And so I looked it up, and this is a partial list. This is not the full list of the way various translations translate these two words: abandoned, aimless, bewildered, cast aside, confused, dejected, dispersed, dispirited, distraught, distressed, downcast, harassed, harried, heartbroken, helpless, hurting, malaised, miserable, scattered, travailed, treated badly, troubled, weak, weary, worn out, and worried. That's quite a list. I had to look up a couple words to be sure. Malaise is a general feeling of discomfort, illness, or uneasiness whose exact cause is difficult to identify. Travailed is engaged in painful or laborious effort. So I had to go back to my older Bible study aids and look up, what is this word, these two words, Greek words? What in the world do they mean, and how in the world do they get them translated so many different ways? Well, harassed translates scullo. And the most basic meaning of that word is to skin. It's a verb. And what? So I went a little farther, and I got this definition, and then several other places confirmed it. It means to skin, to flay, or metaphorically, to trouble. Flay literally means to whip or beat someone so harshly as to remove their skin, to skin them. Its most common usage in English today is to verbally assault someone, usually in public, so violently that they are left raw and wounded and bleeding emotionally. So it's a physical word. It describes beating a person so harshly with a whip that their skin's gone. Helpless translates ripto, which means to be thrown, cast, or hurled down to be prostrate. You see it in Luke 4. Then the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. It means to throw someone violently down to the ground. Now, they're both metaphors, which is why the translations are all over the map, because nobody knows exactly what to do with them. Jesus saw the people as having been assaulted so violently that they were emotionally raw, wounded, and bleeding. They'd been thrown down so violently they found it hard to get up. So what Jesus is describing are people who are deeply wounded and troubled and see no real help for their future. They're like sheep who desperately need a shepherd to care for them and take care of them. Now, the Bible compares people to sheep more than any other animal, especially God's people. And frankly, folks, it's not a compliment. I have always said that any animal whose best method of defending itself is to run into you as hard as it can with its head is probably not the brightest animal, and it's probably not the most dangerous either. Sheep need a shepherd. And these people that Jesus is describing are people who desperately needed someone to take care of them. The Living Bible paraphrases the last part of the verse this way: their problems were so great, and they didn't know what to do, where to go for help. Let's think about what it was like when Jesus was there. You know, if you were a Jew, you grew up on hearing the great stories of all God had done, about how God had brought them out of Egypt and through the Red Sea and through the desert and into the land and wiped out the Canaanites. You remembered the glory days of David and Solomon when Israel was the most powerful nation on earth. And then because of their sin, the northern kingdom went captive to Assyria and the southern kingdom spent 70 years in captivity in Babylon. But then God brought them back. And they expected everything to get better. And eventually the temple is built. But it never really came back to what it had been. And there was this thing about where is God and what is he doing? And from the time they came back, they were first under the Persians and then under the Greeks and then under the Romans. The only time they were a free, independent people was briefly under the Maccabees, and that didn't last terribly long. And now the Romans are in control, and they're very harsh, and they're very cruel, and they really just don't much care as long as they get what they want. Their own Jewish political and religious leaders are notoriously corrupt. Jewish writings describe the priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas. The priesthood of this time is probably the most corrupt in Jewish history. That's why Jesus went into the temple and threw out the money changers. They turned the temple into a vast business enterprise and were getting rich off it. But God was not pleased at all with what they were doing. But if you were a Jew, and you were looking for someone to help you and guide you, you know, you're not going to look at the Romans. You're not going to look at the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Sadducees didn't accept anything in the Old Testament except the first five books. And the Pharisees had turned it all into a legalistic system with loopholes that they knew about to get out of doing everything. But for everybody else, it was just a set of rules. And if it wasn't the Romans, the only non-Roman rulers they had were the Herods. They were descendants of Esau. Today, the Palestinians are the descendants of Esau. If you want to understand how they felt about Herod, understand what it would have been like if the European Union had made Yasser Arafat the king of Israel. It would not have gone over well. They've been beaten up. They've been conquered and conquered and conquered. They don't have anybody to turn to. They don't have anybody they can really trust. And they're what those two words describe. No hope, no place to look. Things were a mess. There's almost no hope that things are going to get better. Now, we're living in a time in the United States that is more like this than any time I can remember, and I'm one of the older people here. We're sick and tired of COVID. We're beginning to wonder if it's ever going to end. We're talking about Omicron now, and if you're familiar with the Greek alphabet, I think I'm right. That's the 14th letter in the Greek alphabet. So there have been 14 variants of COVID so far. I hope Omicron's the last one, but none of us know for sure. We just don't know. The problems caused by drought in the West continue to go on and on. So many wildfires, so much bare land, so many mudslides and all that when the rains finally come. I talked to my sister 4 or 5 weeks ago and in Washington State, and they were under orders not to leave the house except in case of an emergency because the air was not fit to breathe because of a wildfire that they couldn't put out. They're better now. They said, the snow will put it out. We can't. And finally, the snow did. And then on the other side of the country, we seem to be getting a little more water than we want sometimes. You know, we've had the hurricanes. The southeast, we've had just rain, rain, rain. And then you put on top of that the tornadoes and all the other stuff. And then we look at our cities and violence, lawlessness. I try to joke about it. I'm supposed to have knee surgery sometime, but part of the reason they aren't during surgeries is COVID, and part of it is simply they're just shooting each other way too much up in Rochester and the hospital's full. Biblical morality is being openly challenged. Voices saying the Bible is right and what it says about the social issues of the day are being drowned out by voices that are claiming what God calls sin is good and what God calls good is sin. If you follow the statistics, despair deaths, that's deaths from alcohol, drugs, and suicide, have been increasing steadily for the past 10, 12 years. Trust in government and institutions, and that includes the church, is at a very low point. And most of us struggle a lot with making decisions, because we're trying to make decisions based on what we know is true. And we got so many people telling us that opposite things are true, it's really hard to know what's true sometimes. It's crazy out there. So how did Jesus respond when he saw people that were beaten up and thrown down and without hope? Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Jesus looked at the mess and said, what an incredible opportunity to bring people to Jesus Christ. Talked to somebody this past week, asked if she was a Christian, and she said, yeah, it happened right after I was kidnapped. And then she told me a horror story about being kidnapped and framed for a crime and being put in jail and having epileptic seizures while she was in jail and breaking bones. And she said, and then I got out and I met some Christians and they loved me and I came to know Jesus Christ. You see, people very often turn to God when life gets tough. And Jesus looked at the people who were struggling and he said to his disciples, the harvest is there, but the workers are few. You need to start praying. You need to start praying very specifically for people that you have contact with. You need to pray specifically for opportunities to share. You need to pray